Would you open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13? You ever notice how Jesus began his ministry by how many days? 40 days in the wilderness. That's kind of the Lenten idea. Luke tells us this: Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, the desert areas, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry, I should say. The devil said, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." And then the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, so I can give it to anyone who I want to. If you worship me, Jesus, it will be yours." And Jesus said, "It's written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And then finally, the devil led him to Jerusalem, had him stand at the highest point of the temple. He said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written," the devil's quoting scripture, "he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." But Jesus answered, "It is also said, do not put the Lord your God to test." And when the devil had finished all of this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just again thank you for this Lenten season, this time of spiritual training as we move towards Easter Sunday, Lord. We're reminded that everybody loves Easter, but the training time, the times of Good Friday, people don't like those. They're hard, but you call us to go through these kinds of times to strengthen us and cause us to rely on you. And so, Lord, as we always pray, we pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to our hearts this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit, and we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name, saying, amen. So here we are, the Lenten season, the 40 days before Easter plus 6 Sundays. Again, this is a season of spiritual emphasis. Now, many Christians give up certain foods or habits or luxuries to focus on humility, right, in anticipation of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, Easter Sunday. And unfortunately, many people, I think, over the years have viewed Lent as a dreary season, a time of self-denial. But again, what if we looked at Lent as a season of spiritual training? That's really what it is. What if it was an opportunity to grow in your faith and more mature in your love for the Lord? And so if you remember, a few weeks back, I finished a series called The Four Counterfeit Gods, and I want to reinforce some of those ideas today. Remember this, and this is sort of a Lenten idea, whenever we take good things like money, power, pleasure, and honor, and we lean on them in ways that God never intended, that's what the Bible says we have the beginnings of what's called idolatry. So what if we looked at Lent as the season that we could become more of the person that God intended us to be from the very beginning? I think that would be really helpful. So I want to ask three questions for Lent by talking about the three temptations of comfort, power, and pride in our lives. Now, I was reminded of this by Bishop Barron this week. I was also reminded of the life and faith of a French man named Blaise Pascal, a brilliant mathematician. You may know his name through mathematics. But did you know he was a passionate follower of Jesus Christ as well? Are you familiar with Pascal's Divine Wager? This is worth thinking about during Lent. This is what Pascal, the mathematician, said. He employed mathematics and the laws of probability in regards to betting and faith. And I thought about this. I was like, have you ever thought about it? Vegas? I bet there's a lot of praying going on in Vegas, too, in addition to sinning, right? Just thinking about Pascal and betting, he said this: if you were a betting person, you might as well put all of your life's chips on the Lord, right? Put all your life's chips on the Lord, because if there is a God, here's the mathematician, he said the payout would be infinite, right? But even if there wasn't a God, as some say, you really haven't lost anything anyway. But if you put all your life's chips, whatever that may be, on every and anything that is not God, the return on your investment will be really, really bad. Eternally bad, said Pascal. But Pascal also said this. I thought this was pretty insightful. He said that for most people on planet Earth, life is merely a series of diversions. A series of diversions. We constantly divert our attention from the really big questions of life, heaven, hell, salvation, meaning, internal investments, right? Why? Because it takes time and lots of time to deal with the really big questions and issues of life. Instead, most people avoid dealing with those questions. They divert their attention to small things or a variety of games of various sorts. Now, I quoted this Christian author last week. He reminded me of this. Most people today, certainly many Christians, right, in America, are practically, in fact, disciples of the internet. Who are you following, people? What did Bob Dylan say? You got to serve someone. You got to serve someone. I can't even do it. You got to serve somebody. Thanks, Gary. Serve somebody. You know, who are you serving? Are you a disciple of the internet? We constantly distract ourselves with social media of various kinds, including Facebook and other stuff, right? So what if part of your spiritual training for Lent was to take time to discover what's actually taking our attention off the Lord? What's distracting us from the big life's question? Now, at the risk of stepping on America's newest and current favorite addiction, let me ask you a question before the main questions. Do you need to fast from social media in one way or another this Lenten season? Now, when you talk to some people, they look at you horrified. It's like you slap their grandma, right? How dare you say that I should put my phone down or stop surfing? Well, what's distracting you? What's diverting you from the things, the big questions of life and the things of the Lord? Now, you'll remember that one of the big reasons why the early church all through the ages have observed this season of Lent, this 40 days, is because that's how Jesus inaugurated his ministry. He started his ministry by going out into the wilderness, into the desert regions of Judea for 40 days, a kind of testing and training, you could say, mirroring the time that when the Israelites were in the desert in the 40-day the wilderness after the Exodus, right? So there's a reason for this, before arriving in the Promised Land. Now notice, if you remember your Bible stories from Exodus, the children of Israel complained and grumbled the whole 40 years, right? Now, Jesus, perfectly faithful to his Father, when Satan came to him three times with three major temptations, right, he perfectly obeyed. You know, all these things we all struggle with in one way or another at different times in our lives. So these three temptations, Matthew and Dr. Luke tell us about this, could be boiled down into three sort of questions. The question of comfort, power, and pride. Let me just break those down briefly a little bit. As well. So temptation number one, the temptation towards comfort. Notice that while Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, he left behind the diversions, the things that divert our attention in settled life, the creature comforts, food, drink, a roof over his head, other bodily pleasures. Again, keep in mind, none of these things are wrong. None of them are sinful in and of themselves. God has given them to us for our own good. But you'll also remember that comfort and pleasure can easily become a problem, especially in our society, right? Right? When we lean on them and use them in ways that God never intended, I think if you ask most Americans, you would think that comfort and pleasure were among the, they would say, the highest of all goods. And somehow we are entitled to them, right? We just take that for granted. Now, back to the Lord of the Rings. You can see this literally in J.R.R. Tolkien's Hobbit and Ring trilogy. Forgive me if you don't know these. It's like, why? These are like, this is a huge, massive work. To the hobbits, the short little guys, right? The hobbits are virtually addicted to their creature comforts. They complain vociferously when they are denied these things. So I did a little research this week on the typical meal menu and schedule of the average hobbit, and I was surprised. They ate 7 times a day. I don't want to belabor it. You may know people like this too. And yet, most of their waistline was pretty good. I don't know how they do that. Maybe it was just the young ones. But be that as it may, starting off with breakfast, first meal of the day, bread, butter, honey, eggs, bacon, and tea. Sounds good to me, right? Oh, but then there's second breakfast. Second breakfast, that's the mid-morning meal with pastries and fruit. Another clip I was going to show was when they were on their journey and the hobbits were denied second breakfast. And oh, they complain and grumble. How can you not have second? We don't eat till tonight. Tonight? What are you talking about? I'm going to starve. You know when people say, I'm going to say, you're not starving in this culture, man. Not most people, right? Okay, you're a little hungry. Okay. This was a new one to me. There's 11Z's. 11Z's. That's the late morning snack of tea, cakes, or biscuits. And that's all before you get to lunch. The luncheon. Larger mid-deal meal. Oh, now it's getting more substantial. Meats, cheeses, bread, and ale. Ale? Okay. And then there's after, you know, in good British fashion, there's afternoon tea. That's a light meal, tea, scones, jam, and light sandwiches, all before you get to the main meal of the day. You're like, the main meal? Yeah, number 6, dinner. Roasted meats, stews, potatoes, veggies, and lots of ale and wine. But wait, there's more. And then there's one final 7th meaning, supper. Smaller late evening meal, leftovers, or lighter fare of soup and bread. And then you finally go to bed, I should think so. Right? So for the hobbits to fast, which is a normal Lenten practice of, in one way or another, to fast was literally a 4-letter word, right? That's why they complain so much while they're on their journey. And so Jesus's 40-day fast in the wilderness would have shocked and offended the hobbits at their very core. You mean you didn't eat at all for 40 days? I've known people who have done this. It is possible. I've never done it, but it is possible. Jesus did it. I've known people who have done it. So what happened? So earlier, Bilbo, but later, obviously, Frodo and Sam had to learn the hard way this truth. God has made you for greatness, not for comfort. When comfort gets in the way of God's will for your life and the great plans he has and how he wants to use you, then it becomes idolatry, right? Think about that. God has made you for greatness, not primarily for comfort. God intends for the followers of Jesus Christ, his son, to be conduits of divine grace into a fallen world. You get to pour the love of Jesus out into this world. That's why we're downtown. We're not off in some cushy meadow somewhere. We want to be right downtown in the midst of it so we could be conduits of the divine life here in this time and place. Now think about it. If Satan had offered our big hairy-footed friends bread made from stones, I'm pretty sure they would have taken the bait of Satan. I think they would have. While the Lord Jesus, he simply said, "We do not live by bread alone," right? So comfort is temptation number 1. Temptation number 2, power. Now, there are those for whom comfort and pleasure hold little interest, right? Take, for example, this guy, Adolf Hitler. Did you know he was a vegetarian? You look surprised. Yeah. He wasn't very interested in food. He was interested in other things, obviously, right? He evidently loved the powerful rush of his liquid cocaine eye drops. That was a thing. I was like, cocaine eye drops? It's like something from the turn of the century when you get bottles of opioids and stuff and wonder why people are struggling, right? But that was Hitler. He didn't care about food, but he cared about power, obviously. Now, early Christian author St. Augustine famously said that for many people, in this world, they are spiritually leveled by what he called the lust to dominate. I have this thing in me, I just want to dominate. I want to be in control. I want to be powerful in some way or another. Back to Tolkien's Ring trilogy, have you ever noticed how the rings are called rings of power? If you know the story, right? All the different creatures of Middle Earth lusted for the rings so they could dominate, right? Consider this character if you've watched the movies. That was Sméagol. And he found a ring, and over time this ring, this lust for power and control, consumed him, and he became something very else. He became that. He became Gollum. Look at the transformation. If you've ever known anybody with a meth addiction, this is what happens in about 2 to 3 years. I've seen beautiful people become, look like that. It eats them from the inside out. This lust to dominate can strike anyone, from little children whose first words, well, hopefully it's mommy and daddy, but by two, it's what? No and mine. Tell me that's not a lust to dominate. To an Austrian-born dictator who had plunged the world into war, whose lust to dominate came at the cost of between 70 to 85 million lives. That is the lust to dominate, St. Augustine says. Now, unlike the Israelites, Gollum or Hitler, Jesus did not take the bait of Satan. You know, when the devil came to him, tempting him, devil means scatterer, right? He loves to scatter stuff around, just keep them all, you know, an inch deep and a mile wide, as they used to say. When he's tempted by the devil, he offered the Lord Jesus all the worldly power imaginable. Jesus simply replied, "You will worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Very clear in this. So Lent reminds us of the humble path of Jesus. Jesus talked about this prophetically, John 2:32. He said, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself," meaning when he was crucified, right? Right, so power in a Christian sense is something very, very different, right? He's handed over, he's nailed to a cross, without which there would be no Easter morning, there would be no, you know, if Jesus hadn't died on the cross and rose from the dead, we wouldn't be sitting here today, right? Because every Sunday is like a mini Easter. That's why we do this, among other things, right? That's a different notion of power, spiritual power. Jesus showed power for God's purpose. So remember this Lenten season, this is really important. What you worship will determine your very life. What are you worshiping? Take that to the Lord, because it will determine your life. Remember they used to say, in the 70s, you are what you eat? It's true. For some of us, we have to relook at our diets like, ooh, why am I putting that in my body? You know? What are you putting in your spiritual life? Think about that this Lenten season. So worldly power is temptation number two. Temptation number three, pride. Now, remember, pride is what the early church called the worst of the seven deadly sins. It's what caused Satan to fall from grace, right? Pride. Sometimes we think of other things, but this will really get you. You know, Satan, which means accuser, has any number of names. The devil, the scatterer, Satan the accuser. How about Lucifer, the one masquerading as an angel of Lucas, light, right? That's where Dr. Luke gets his name, light. He takes these evil different sort of forms at different sort of times. And so we're dealing with pride here. This is what caused him to fall from grace forever. Again, Tolkien's Ring trilogy, right? Did you know J.R.R. Tolkien was a devoted follower of Jesus Christ? And you know, part of his ministry was sharing his faith with the other guy, C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis was an atheist. And because of Tolkien and some other guys, Lewis found faith in Jesus and became one of the greatest apologists of the 20th century of the Christian faith. Tremendous author. We're reading his children's books, The Chronicles of Narnia, and Wednesday Night Life Group. It's been a hoot. All of these themes that we're talking about can be found in Tolkien's writings. Now, in regards to the Ring trilogy, note, what is the name of the evilest of all villains? Anybody? Sauron, right? And he's got those evil wraith riders. This is like the demonic horde, right? Whose pride and lust to dominate wrecked unfathomable destruction throughout Middle Earth. Now, obviously, Tolkien as a Christian did not have to come up with all of his characters from scratch. He had the history of humanity to work with, as well as God's word to work from. So Tolkien knew this story of the Jesus' three wilderness temptations as outlined by Luke. He knew that prideful people love and try to use and manipulate God for their own selfish purposes, right? Paul says this a little differently, Romans 1:25. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is to be forever praised. Amen. So this third and final temptation of Jesus from Satan is a little more subtle than the first two, I think, right? Luke tells us that the devil took Jesus to the rooftop of God's holy temple in God's holy city of Jerusalem and had the proud audacity to quote from God's holy word, the Bible, that somehow the incarnated Son of God should jump because God would never let his son be harmed. Huh. Subtle, maybe. Jesus' simple reply, you will never put the Lord your God to test. Do not put God to the test. What's this really about? Well, as usual for us as human beings, it's all about me, right? It's all about me. As if our pride and our personal egos were somehow at the very center of the universe. Have you met children like this? Oh, it's very, these little kids, they're literally hellions, right? Everything's about me and my little world. But you know adults like that as well, right? It's not a pretty picture or a pretty look for sure. All about me. Try this one on for size, s'il vous plaît, if you please. Lord, why don't you do what I want? Lord, do what I want. Maybe that's why Christianity sometimes is so anemic in America today, because the advertising industry, we had fun with this in the past, right? Remember the old, I think it's still going, right? How about Burger King? What's their big slogan? Have it your way. You know, I showed the video of the 70s one. I remember this when I was young. You know, and they had all these, the women had all these big hats. It was awesome, right? And pretty soon, they're ordering hamburgers, and somebody says, you know, can you hold the pickles? Oh, yeah, you can have it your way. I can have it my way. Then the lady jumps in. I don't want any lettuce, but I want extra cheese. And they're like, okay, you can have it your way. And they have jingles about that. Remember that? Hold the special. Don't upset us. You can have it your way. I'm done singing. That's for the worship team. Yay! Have it your way. While crooning with old blue eyes himself, Mr. Frank Sinatra, who famously sang what? I did it my way. Instead of surrendering to God's purposes. How'd that work out in his personal life? Not so good. As our faith in Jesus requires of us, and which the season of Lent so helpfully reminds us of, so pride is temptation number three. Now, finally, has it ever dawned on you and I that Jesus' 40-day wilderness experience, his triple temptations of comfort, power, and pride, is our story as well? This is not unique to, this is not just an interesting Bible story. This is very much has everything to do with our own lives. One notable exception is that Jesus perfectly passed these tests and training. Unlike the children of Israel who wandered in the desert for 40 years before God graciously and mercifully brought them into the promised land of rest, right? You know the story. Or we who struggle with these very things throughout the 40 days of Lent, never mind actual 40 years, right? So let me end with the now three obvious questions, right? Encouraging you to take these before the Lord in prayer as we continue our Lenten training and journey. Here they are, simply. And this might, different ones might strike different ones. In what ways is comfort a temptation for you during this season before Easter? Secondly, in what ways is power a temptation for you? People have their proclivities, right? this one, but not that one, whatever. And then finally, number three, in what ways is pride a temptation for you? Pride will level you, right? And it'll keep you apart from the Lord and other people, right? So take these things to heart in prayer this week. And by the way, maybe you should have another look at Tolkien's Hobbit and Ring trilogy again, just for good measure, all right? Yeah, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for this Lenten season of spiritual training. We come before you acknowledging, confessing that in different ways we struggle with these three temptations that were brought by the devil before Jesus. We struggle with pride and comfort and power in different ways. And we just pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would bring these things to our hearts and that we would renounce them for a greater, fully devoted life with Jesus Christ. And so thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, saying, amen.